The idea of judgment that Jesus lays out for us means to determine or to pronounce final opinion about someone. Jesus says, basically, he says, when you don't judge, and the idea of judgment that he's saying is don't make a final opinion about someone from where you're standing. Jesus is warning of giving someone their result before they finish. And this is a real problem that Christians have. We will often judge someone's life based upon that person's worst moment. And we write people off because of one flaw or one failure, and we determine their outcome in the middle of their journey. And so Jesus warns us not to cast final judgment on someone because their story is over.
Worship Generation Radio presents Pastor Nate Gallagher of the Factory Youth, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Vero Beach. We are currently in a series looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. One of the things that we hear Jesus say in this sermon is, "You have heard it was said, but I say to you." Jesus is bringing a new message from heaven, and that message is the way that God's kingdom works and how we can be a part of it. And the kingdom of God is nothing like the kingdom of men. If we want to be great in his kingdom, we must learn to be the servant of all. Although this seems counterintuitive, it makes the kingdom of God accessible for everyone. And in this series, we are learning how we can be a part of God's kingdom. Here's Pastor Nate with today's teaching.
Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, I'll read it to you. It says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And then he asks a question. "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." I've titled this message, "Don't Judge My Journey." Jesus is talking about judgment as his followers and warning of the danger of judgment because you can't know their situation from the sidelines of their life. So often people sit on the sidelines and judge other people's lives as if they could do it better or know what they're actually going through. Because it's way easier to criticize from the bleachers than to be a part of someone's life and know what they're experiencing. It's way easier to sit in the bleachers and tell the players how they should play the game. It's way more difficult to actually get up and go and be a part of the game. And once you're in it, then you can see the difficulty of it. I read an article about Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton on bleacherreport.com. And this article was written in 2011 when he first came into the league. The article said this. This was the title of the article. "Cam Newton, why Carolina Panthers' new quarterback is the worst NFL draft pick ever." It went on to say, "Cam Newton is a surefire bust. He said, 'I am so certain of this that if he is the Panthers' starting quarterback in 2016, I will buy a Cam Newton jersey and stand in the stadium parking lot in my underwear when the Panthers come to Tampa Bay and hold a sign proclaiming that Auburn rules over Florida and Carolina rules over Tampa Bay. This guy will be long gone by then." Bleacher Report, in 2011. In case you don't know, last season, 2014-2015 season, he led his team to 15 regular season victories, only lost one game the entire season, the first time in franchise history, and the only other game they lost all season long was in the Super Bowl. This dude was so convinced from the bleachers, bleacherreport.com, so confused from the bleachers that this guy was going to not be anybody. He would sit there and judge from the bleachers how this guy's life would play out. But until he actually experienced the game, he would never know this guy's life. And Cam Newton showed up and said, what was that from the bleachers? What was that, bleacherreport.com? How about you look at my winning record? And then tell me what you think. This guy must have shown up in his underwear this season with his Cam Newton jersey on because he was totally wrong. And Jesus, likewise, is warning his followers of the dangers of judgment and the uselessness of it. But he also shows us the time and the place for it. Believe it or not, there is a place for it. Everyone's like, whoa, really? Jesus says, don't judge, but there is a time and place where judgment is allowed. But Jesus shows us how it can be hurtful and how it can be helpful. The problem with judgment is that it casts a verdict on someone that isn't done yet. What I mean by that is when we judge someone or we make judgments about who they are or what they've done or their potential, we write their final chapter in the middle of their journey. First point, you can write this down. It won't be on the screen. Judge not because the journey isn't over. Verse 1 and 2, Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The idea of judgment that Jesus lays out for us means to determine or to pronounce final opinion about someone. Jesus says, basically, he says, when you don't judge, and the idea of judgment that he's saying is don't make a final opinion about someone from where you're standing. Jesus is warning of giving someone their result before they finish. And this is a real problem that Christians have. We will often judge someone's life based upon that person's worst moment. And we write people off because of one flaw or one failure, and we determine their outcome in the middle of their journey. And so Jesus warns us not to cast final judgment on someone because their story isn't over. If someone were to have determined who I was at age 16, that would be my whole life, there would have been no hope for me. If somebody would have looked at me at age 15 and 16 and said, this is where this dude's going to end up, they would have predicted prison. But one chapter of my life is not my whole life. Think about the Apostle Peter. What if people would have determined his whole life based upon the one time he denied Jesus? You know that story? Jesus was being arrested, betrayed, going to the cross, and he told Peter beforehand, he said, hey, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter's like, yeah, all right, I'll never deny you. And then like an hour passes by. It's like 3 hours later. It happens. And Peter's like standing there. And they're like, hey, do you know Jesus? He's like, oh, no, I never even heard of that guy. And they're like, no, I'm pretty sure I saw you. He's like, Jesus who? What are you even talking about? And they're like, no, we saw you with Jesus. Like, you're from his hometown. We saw you with him. He's like, are you kidding me? And he starts cursing and swearing. He's like, I've never known the guy. I've never met him. Never seen him. Peter fully denied Jesus. And if we would have determined his life from that moment, we would have said, this guy's hopeless. He's never going to do anything. He's never going to amount to anything. You know, Peter, once he repented and once he was filled with the Holy Spirit, preached the first sermon ever filled with the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people got saved. Peter also responsible for writing 2 books in the New Testament. Arguably, he was the one that sort of quoted the book of Mark, and Mark wrote it down. Peter, if you would have summed up his life from one failure, he said this guy would have never amounted to anything. But his journey wasn't done yet. God still had things he wanted to do in his life. And so Jesus warns us of making final judgment. And he tells us that if we do this, if we cast final judgment on people, the same judgment we cast on others will be cast on us. This should motivate us to look for the best in people. If God is going to give us what we give to people, we should be pouring out grace and love and mercy and second chances on people, because that's what I want from God. I want God, when he looks at me, to go, this guy needs more grace. This guy needs more mercy. This guy needs more forgiveness. This guy needs second and third and fourth and 1,500 chances, because that's what I've been given to people. I don't want God to ever write me off as a hopeless case. I don't want God to give me a final verdict of who I am in the middle of my journey. So why would I do that to someone else? Listen, it's not our job to decide the outcome of someone's life while they're in the middle of their journey. Only God can determine the result of their life. Because only God can take ashes and make them beautiful. Only God can turn difficulty into victory. Only God can transform a life in the middle of it. Our job is to show that type of love that we would want to receive in our difficulty. So listen, we can't judge. He says, don't judge. Don't cast final judgment on people because their journey isn't over. Judge not because the journey isn't over. Then Jesus transitions to illustrate how ridiculous it is to judge one another. Second point, when we judge, we forget that our planks are made out of the same stuff as the speck. Jesus uses a powerful illustration about specks and planks. Now, remember, Jesus was a carpenter, so he knew what he was talking about when it came to woodworking. And so he creates this illustration to really drive home a thought. And most commentators believe that when Jesus said what he said in the original language, the people would have cracked up. They would have started laughing because of how ridiculous the picture he was painting for them. This is basically what he says. He says, you are looking at the speck in somebody's eye. Jesus says, you're focusing on the speck in somebody's eye. So one little speck. Here, I'll try again. So can you see that? Kind of? Jesus says, you're focusing on one little speck. He says, meanwhile, you've got a plank in your eye. So basically, you're walking around with this, focused on the person's this. They're saying, this is what you're doing. How can you possibly judge accurately somebody else's struggles when you've got this, a 2x4? Is this a 2x4? We'll call it 2x4. Sticking out of your own eye. And Jesus, he makes this point. He uses this illustration to show us how ridiculous it is to judge because we have stuff in our own lives. What happens when we judge other people by this, what often happens is we judge other people by a standard that we don't judge ourselves by. And so what happens is we hold grudges toward people for what they do to us, but we want grace from them. We never forget what they did to us, but we want forgiveness for ourselves. We never give second chances, but we want all sorts of second and third chances. And what happens when we do that is we're focused on the speck in somebody else's eye, and we're missing the plank in our own eye. And the reason we do this is because the sin we struggle with always looks worse on someone else. When we struggle with lust, oh, it's just hormones. Well, when someone else struggles with it, they're disgusting. When we have pride, oh, we're just confident. When they are prideful, they're jerks. When they say something mean, or when we say something mean, it's just us being brave enough to say what nobody else will. When they say something mean, they're haters. When we sin, it's a mistake. It was an accident. I messed up. When they sin, they're the worst of the worst. But we need to realize that the sin that they struggle with is the same as us. In case you didn't know, but the speck that Jesus was talking about would have been the shavings, the plank he was talking about. When you shave down the plank, you end up with a bunch of specks that he talks about. And what he's getting us to understand is that the things that you struggle with are the same as what they struggle with. And the things that they struggle with are the same that you struggle with. So why would you stand here and judge their journey when the struggle is the same? But we get so focused on the speck in their eye that we can't see the giant log sticking out of our own. And so Jesus says, listen, first, before you go and judge their journey, before you go and write them off, make sure that you understand that what they're struggling with is the same as what you're struggling with. And we forget that the speck and the plank are made out of the same stuff, and that's sin. But once we realize that the sin is sin and we all struggle with it, we can begin to show people the love and the grace and attempt to help each other with that struggle rather than judge one another. Because, you know, you see what you focus on, right? You see what you focus on. And Jesus says that we see the speck, we're focused on the speck, but we don't consider the plank. We're ignoring the plank because we're so focused on the speck. And until we realize that we all struggle, we can never overcome our issues. We have to recognize that we're all on a journey and God wants to help us walk. But if we don't recognize our sin as sin, we'll never grow. And so Jesus says, before you go out and point everybody else's issues and how everybody else isn't good and how everybody else is sinful and how everybody else is worse than you, he says, before you go and do that, make sure you consider the plank that is sticking out of your eye. Make sure you pause for a moment and consider that what they're struggling with and what you're struggling with looks a lot the same. It might be a different form of sin. It might manifest itself differently in our lives. But the root issue, what we struggle with, is sin. Somebody might struggle with pride. Somebody else might struggle with the complete opposite. They think too lowly of themselves. But it's the same struggle. It's sin. Somebody else might struggle with anger. Somebody else might not struggle with not ever standing up for themselves. The struggle is the same. It might look different, but we all struggle, and sin is the problem. And so before we throw a stone at somebody else, Jesus says, deal with what's going on in your own life. Now, this is where the story gets interesting, because it doesn't mean that we never point out people's sin or that we simply accept everyone and what they do. Third point, we aren't to judge, but we also aren't to justify. We aren't to judge, but we also aren't to justify. Look at verse 5. He says, how can you say to your brother, verse 4, let me remove the speck from your own eye. Look, a plank is in your own eye. He says, hypocrite. That means stage actor. It means person wearing a mask. It means somebody pretending to be what they're not. Somebody to pretending that their life is all together when really they're struggling. He says, hypocrite. He says, first, everyone say first, remove the plank from your own eye, and then, everyone say then, you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. He says, first deal with your plank, then deal with the speck. He doesn't say ignore them both altogether. He doesn't say just deal with your own sin and let other people run aground. He says, first deal with your sin, your struggle, then you can help the people around you. It doesn't say we never address people's situations, but that we don't judge them in their situations, and we first deal with ourselves. Christians, I'm sure you've heard this before, are often categorized as hateful and judgmental. If you've ever turned on some sort of news where Christians were involved, they're like, they're the worst, they're judgmental, they're hateful. And to be honest, it's true a lot of the times. Christians, a lot of time, don't know how to balance this idea of being judgmental and showing love to people in the middle. But the reason people do this is because they don't know how to handle their own issues, but they're expert on everybody else's. And so Jesus tells us so simply to focus on our own issues, and then we can help other people. And we sing glory.
That concludes the teaching portion of today's message. But before we go, here's Nate with his wife Hannah to talk about how we can put this into practice.
Don't judge my journey. It's like the anthem of our culture today. Nobody wants to be judged.
Right.
Everybody wants to do their thing. Nobody wants to be judged. And it's interesting because a lot of times Christians do a lot of the judging about the way people are living. And Jesus comes in. Here he is in a sermon, and he says, do not judge. It's a powerful statement, and it's especially powerful when we know the idea that he's talking about and this idea of judgment is really to pronounce final opinion on someone.
Right.
And to determine their life based upon whatever issue we're seeing them involved in. And it's so easy for us to sort of summarize the whole book based upon one chapter. But we don't know the whole book based upon one chapter. We don't know the end of that person's life based upon one portion, especially the low light portion of it, you know. And so Jesus is really warning us of don't judge one another because you don't know ultimately what God's going to do. I talked about in the message how what if we judged Peter after he denied Jesus and said that that was going to be his whole life? Then we would never get to see when he preached the first time and 3,000 people got saved. You know, it's so easy for us to judge the whole journey by one portion of it. But Jesus wants us to know that just because you're in the middle of something or just because somebody else is in the middle of something doesn't mean that that's going to be their whole life. But why is it, do you think, that we're so quick to judge somebody in the middle of their journey?
I think because we're still in the middle of our journey and that we want to point out when other people mess up because we've been messing up.
Right.
You know, that's our culture. We want to look at the pictures of celebrities without makeup when they look bad because we want to tell ourselves that it's okay for us to have bad days too. Or we want to feel like other people aren't any better than us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it just goes back to our heart, it being a heart issue. Like this whole chapter, Jesus has been addressing the issues of the heart.
Right.
And for us, it's because we're still in our journey. We see ourselves messing up and maybe falling short of where we want to be. So when someone else falls short, we want to draw attention to their mistakes so that all eyes are off us and our shortcomings.
Wow. And I think we do the same thing on the other end.
Right.
You know, we kind of have like the Instagram culture, which is show our best and hide the rest. And what tends to happen is we compare our behind the scenes with other people's highlight reels.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, you know, we're watching people. This is their amazing vacation. This is their amazing life. They're perfect kids, everything. And we're looking at our life and we think, my life is a disaster.
Right.
And so when we can see other people mess up and we can sort of almost pull them down to our level, we're so quick to do that really because of our own pride, trying to make ourselves feel better.
Right.
Because we're in the middle, we're in process, we're on this journey. And so Jesus, I think, really kind of levels the playing field. One of the points in the message was that the speck in their eye or the plank in our eye is made out of the same stuff as the speck in their eye. The reality is we're all sinful. We all make mistakes and all of us are in process. God wants to work these things out, but we need to make sure that we're examining our own issues, that we're allowing God to point out our own flaws. And then when God points those things out, we remove those things. Nobody wants to be the guy with the plank in their eye pointing out the speck in everybody else's.
Right.
We want to be willing to listen to God's Spirit as He points out the things in our life and deal with those things as they come, because we don't want to be those people that are so focused on other people's issues that we never grow for ourselves.
Right. Now, what about those who aren't believers? Here, Jesus is talking about the speck in our brother's eye, which is a reference to the body of Christ.
Right.
So how do we as Christians deal with the sins of people who are not in the church, who aren't claiming to be Christ followers, and their sin?
Well, Jesus, we know, was accused of being friends of tax collectors and sinners.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus spent time with those people that were outside of the body of Christ. They weren't believers. They weren't walking with God. Obviously, his goal, his mission, was to introduce himself to them, salvation to them. But he spent time with them. And there was times where he corrected them. There was times where he just showed them compassion and love. And so I think part of it is our relationship with that person. It rarely does anybody any good to just go up to a random person and tell them that they're sinners. Rarely does that help anybody. But when there's relationship there, when you've gotten to know somebody, you've spent time with them, like Jesus has gone to their house and hung out with them, had a meal with them, then there allows, because of relationship, an open door to point something out. So we want to make sure that out of love and humility, we have people in our life that aren't believers that we can show the love of Christ to. One of the biggest dangers of the church is we get around only Christians. We grow in our relationship with God and we got nobody to reach. And so it's important for us to have people around us that we just recognize this person thinks differently than me. This person behaves differently than me. And because of that, we don't want to come in and just judge them and say, you're sinful, even if they are. We want to come in and show them the love of God, because it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. And so we want to come in and show people that kindness. But there is another side where we don't want to go on the way other end of the spectrum and begin to justify people's sins.
Right.
Where we look at people and say, oh, it's not that big a deal. No, sin is sin, and sin is going to cause people to be separated from God. And so we want to recognize the seriousness of sin, but I think the best way for us to deal with those people is to show them love and compassion and ask, how would we want to be treated? If we're in sin and somebody else knows about it, how would we want somebody else to come address that for us?
Right.
How would we want somebody to deal with the speck in our eye? We would want people to show love and compassion and grace and to be there with us, to help us. And so I think it's important for us to have relationship with people, to do it out of a place of, hey, I'm not perfect, but I'm growing, I'm in process, and to come alongside in that regards, and then it becomes a blessing to somebody else. It's not just judgment, bringing the hammer down and saying, you're wrong, and this is why, but rather it's, hey, God loves you. He's got bigger and better plans for you. Let's seek to find out those plans.
Thank you for listening to today's study presented by Worship Generation Radio. If you would like to listen again or hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, visit us online at ccvb.net/thefactorypodcast. You can keep up with all that is going on with Pastor Nate or The Factory by following on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher or at The Factory Youth. If this message has blessed you, we would love to hear about it. Send an email to church@ccvb.net. Join us next time as we continue studying the Bible with Pastor Nate Gallagher.